You're listening to the Star Wars Report, episode 37. O Brother, Where Art Thou?
O brothers, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Come on, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray.
As I went down to Lotho Minor to pray, studying about that dark side way. Oh, brother, where art thou? Welcome to the Star Wars Report, episode 37. I'm one of your hosts for this evening, Riley Blanton. Super glad that you joined us for our conversation about all the latest and greatest Clone Wars news. Joining us once again, as always, is my dear sister and fellow co-host, Bethany.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Star Wars Report. That's your job.
It's my job to talk so fast that I lose that I have tongue-tied.
Yes. Well, I am glad to be back.
Yes, glad that you're joining us, and also, Mr. Herleman.
Yay! Yes, me and Whistler have had a heck of a time. Chewie, what is Chewie doing in here?
What's going on?
He's hiding under the bed. I'm actually in my kid's room at the moment. I was out in the garage 1 minute. I've been playing podcast... I don't know.
Musical chairs?
Jungle Warfare. You know? Yeah, musical studios, if you will. My computer finally took the crash of death, doom, and destruction, so I had to switch to the netbook for my full-time link to the internet and all that is fun in Star Wars.
I heard that. Yes, I saw that. I was very... I feel bad when... I feel like we should have prepared some kind of eulogy for the dinosaur.
Some tool of the face. La, da, da, yeah. Da, da.
Well, it's kind of funny. It was a moment of terror as we found this out the other day. Was it yesterday or this morning that it crashed? I'm trying to remember.
It was last night. I edited the one podcast the night before for Star Wars Beyond the Films, and then next thing I know, I left it running like always, and I come back and turn on the monitor, and it had the Dell startup screen with 90% done. It's just sitting there. I'm like, man, what's it doing? And I left there for like 30 minutes, come back, it's still there. I'm like, okay, I did a hard reboot, and that screen was immediately there. It didn't even take any load time. So then I shut it off over the night, came in, and bam, same thing. It was doing it again, and then I left it off, went to work, came back, and it gave me a weird screen, and since then it's been completely black.
Wow. I'm sorry to hear that. It's funny. Exactly. In this day and age of computers, they're so closely tied to who we are. And just as a person, it's like those moments when I'm terrified, when if someone were to ever have my laptop, it's like they would have a window to my soul. I mean, it's not just what kind of music you like, but I mean, everything's on it. It's remarkable. And now, of course, that's translated to the world of smartphones. So you literally have, I think, like a piece of your soul.
Buried into technology. I've had that thing since 99. I mean, I've kind of expected it to happen, but at the same time, I was like, I got the one awesome piecer. It just keeps going and going and going. It's like the Energizer Bunny of doom, destruction, and chaos.
Wow. Yeah, actually, I think that would be better described for Darth Maul, the Energizer Bunny of doom, destruction, and chaos. Or the Energizer Spider of Doom. But before we get into that, it was a funny moment where I realized I was very terrified that the dinosaur was down. Man down! And and I realized that you may not be able to join us. Of course, you're on your netbook in your makeshift studio, a.k.a. kick the kids out of the bedroom, which, by the way, is awesome. And then Bethany, almost earlier today, we got a call, and it almost looked like she was going to last minute have to travel over to Montgomery, Alabama at Maxwell Air Force Base for Civil Air Patrol duties as a possibility to be an escort for cadets.
Let's just say it's difficult to say no to a lieutenant colonel.
Yes. To escort cadets to a color guard competition that they were doing there. So there's that moment earlier this afternoon where I thought to myself, am I really going to have to do another solo show? Because I really don't want that to happen again. I think... Because for those of you who don't know, go back into the archives. There's one very poor Star Wars Report episode where we had attempted to record it twice with the same show notes and just had so many technical difficulties back in the day. And
It was Wednesday.
Yeah.
Theater Nation in the chat wants to know if you had Han on your show. It's a solo show after all.
I see what you're talking. So that was a moment. I think that needs to just stay in the archives as just kind of a one-time deal, though. I'm glad that we have a little bit better equipment now to help out. Not quite have those technical difficulties, but yeah, those were the days, recording the same show three times.
Now we just have technical difficulties with the internet connection and the radio connection and Skype.
Well, it's got to happen somewhere. So let's talk about it. Brothers just aired the lead up to the season 4 finale of The Clone Wars. It's pretty awesome to be saying that out loud, season 4 of The Clone Wars. And so we're going to do what we've done, kind of do our live show nights here, Thursday nights, 8 p.m., Middle Earth Network Radio, and we're going to kind of do another twofer. Like last week, record two shows, kind of separate the Clone Wars news because there's so much Clone Wars stuff, and because frankly, we're so excited about the latest Clone Wars episodes that we want to talk about them. At least that's the case with me. I don't know about you guys, but
well, it's got Darth Maul. Who can't be excited? Oh wait, there's a 1%. There's always a 1%.
I know. Well, Mark, actually, I was surprised because leading up to this, there was all this. And Bethy, you know this. You've been reading the internet, keeping up with the forums and the social networks, and all these people were really hesitant for Darth Maul to return. I mean, that was the mantra. I mean, with good reason. Like, the guy got cut in half, and not like his legs cut off, which I think might be the kind of alternate history of, well, oh, it was always his legs, but we'll get into that later as to how and what happened. But yeah, he got cut in half, fell down a reactor core, and I completely forgot where I was going with that. What was I saying?
So,
well, you know, there was one set of films out there. Well, I don't say one. There was a group of them where they were worried about Maul getting cut in half, and they left him solid. And that actually one, or no, again, I say one. There was a couple of them that made it out into theaters
into
where people actually saw Maul fall down completely in one body. And there were a lot of people speculating that that's what we were going to see, that Maul was not going to have been cut in half and that suddenly George was going to change his mind on that whole scene, which, you know, that would have been pretty controversial.
Yeah. And I was just thinking I remembered where I was going with my brain part there. I completely forgot. But fans, as I was saying, were really hesitant with good reason in many cases. Because it's doubtful. How can Darth Maul survive? This is like the Boba Fett of the prequel generation. We all loved Darth Maul, and he was awesome, but how could he die? Boba Fett, exactly. And then we got to this episode, and really Darth Maul only appeared in the last 2 to 3 minutes. And what I found hilarious, I was like, oh, Star Wars fan community. Once again, everybody was so upset, whether it was Morley the snake or the junk, the fire breathers, the junk planet, the dialogue there. I mean, some cool stuff, but it was kind of filler. It was kind of just along the journey. Then everybody's like, a whole waste of an episode. We're waiting for Maul. Come on, you teased us for a year, and we have to wait a whole nother week to get to Maul.
Well,
so it's like,
to kind of rebuttal that, though, I want to say, look back on the last 3 seasons, Star Wars fans. Bounty Hunters. Secrets Revealed. I mean, didn't all these lead-ins to the season end with the last episode actually having what they've been saying all season long?
Good point.
We saw more Bounty Hunters this season than we ever did season 2.
Good point, Mark. I think that's a very fair assessment. And I think just that extra long wait was a little bit too much for fans. And we're also used to the one-and-done villain. And as we've heard from different interviews with people like Joel Aaron and Sam Witwer, The Darth Maul's role isn't over at the end of this season. He carries on into season 5, so we very well may be in for our first cliffhanger. Star Trek Next Generation style cliffhanger. Can you imagine, like, Darth Maul swings at Obi-Wan, who's powerless, and you hear a clash as the screen goes dark.
All of a sudden, the film gets caught and it catches on fire. You're like, what happened?
So let's start out chronologically and talk about the episode, and then we'll get into some of the more recent news and interviews that have been happening in regards to the Clone Wars. But let's just review the episode first. Started out, Savage Opress was at the wreaking havoc at the intergalactic Denny's, and
that scene, when I saw it, I thought of the Bounty Hunter game. And then when I watched it the second time, it reminded me of Dexter's Diner, of course. But
yeah,
there's something about the Bounty Hunter game. There was a level where you had to go into a diner like that from the outside. When Anakin and Ahsoka got out and they showed the diner right before it panned to them getting out of their speeder, that image, I mean, it was like a concept art from Bounty Hunter to me is what it seemed like. It looked like it was straight off the screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a crazy episode, but it was interesting to me to see Anakin and Ahsoka because I wasn't expecting it.
That was actually kind of out of the blue.
I was like, huh, Anakin and Ahsoka, what are they doing here? Huh.
It's a small galaxy.
Yeah.
Proving once
again. You're crashing the episode, guys. This is Darth Maul's episode.
Yeah, get out.
Remember, the Clone Wars logo was in red. Darth Maul red. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was another cool thing is I forgot about that, the opening logo in red.
Yeah,
I was waiting for the long time ago to be red and everything red. I was like, yeah, let's spread it up.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. So, Bethany, what did you think of the opening episode and how long it took them to get from? I mean, I was just reading Ryan's review, which I posted on StarWarsReport.com earlier. Mm-hmm. You guys can check it out. And he was talking about the episode, and he loved like the last 5 minutes, all the Darth Maul stuff with how, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But he really felt like it was just a point A to point B episode. I mean, do you agree with that, or?
Yeah, it seemed more like a journey episode than a reveal episode.
Well, let's put it this way: it was a Luke goes out to find R2-D2 and the Tusken Raiders attack type of, you know, it was like, and I heard this on the Forcecast Roundtable earlier today, and I loved what he said. I think it was Jimmy who said it was kind of a reverse hero's journey. So, like, instead of the hero, it's the villains, but it's kind of a journey to a destination, a mini 22-minute version of throwing the ring in the fire, a.k.a. finding your goal, finding Darth Maul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, for me, the whole aspect that it was Savage looking for his brother, I thought it was like straight out of Labyrinth. You know, he was the girl looking for his brother. Morley was Hoggle. it had that feel, that fantasy feel. You know, there were moments where when Morley was talking about the dangers of the fire breathers, where I felt like it was the never ending story where the guy had to go through the statues with the laser eyes and stuff like that. And by the time we got to the last 5 minutes that Ryan loves so much, it definitely felt very Return of the King, Shelob's lair. Mm-hmm. Then it goes Gollum like with the way, you know, Sam treated Maul. I just thought that the whole thing had a very fantasy type quality to it. I mean, I think the thing that most people were irritated, like you said at the beginning of this, was the hype around it was going to be Maul's episode. For me, I wasn't looking at it like that. I was just like, well, it'll be what it is. And so I was kind of looking at it more like, well, this is Savage's tale about how he finds his brother.
Yeah.
And when I looked at it like that, I really enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was a very great episode. And you know, yeah, they did kind of sucker fans once again by throwing Maul all over it. But I think that that's to imply that the end of the series is really going to be Maul-eccentric. Yeah. And I think they did a good job of leading up to it. I mean, obviously, we're not just throwing Savage off to the side. He's got a story to tell, too. And I think that a lot of people mistook Savage's story as a kind of like a slight to Maul's story. Maul's story will be in the next episode, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was kind of interesting because, again, I was kind of focused on the Maul part of it and did feel that way. But I also, once I thought about it after watching it, I thought, this is very interesting because we get to see more of Savage. And in earlier in the seasons, when we see Savage, we had one or two episodes that focused on him, but the other episodes, after he turned into the monster version of Savage, courtesy of the Night Sisters, he was more just kind of this monster beast that ran around smashing things.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I do, you know, there are four characters that I just jotted down on my little whiteboard as you guys were talking that you made me think of this. Four characters I really think have somewhere to go in the Clone Wars that have enormous potential. One of is Savage Opress, new character. I really think there are places to go with him, and I'm glad he was heavily featured in the episode. Is that you, brother? 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 And then the next one is, of course, Saj Ventress, who since mid-season 3 with the Night Sisters arc and now with this season finale is definitely a really, really, really compelling character as well. Third is Count Dooku, where I think that we have yet to really hear, and ladies and gentlemen listening to the podcast, that's the sound of our internet going out. So Bethany and I are going to talk now. Count Dooku is another important role And I think he has yet to be explored. I think of these characters so far that I'm naming, he's been the least explored. I mean, yes, he's had the... Dooku has had the Night Sister attack and the boils on the face, but that's really about as far as they've gotten. But I think there's a lot there, and I think there's a connection between Dooku and Mother Talzin that really has yet to be explored that I'm really hoping they pursue. Number four, Ahsoka Tano. We won't really go into her now. She has been explored a lot, but I think there's a lot more to go, obviously. She's kind of the star.
Yeah, I think she's been explored in her current state. It's kind of like meeting someone, being friends with them, but not hearing anything about their past life.
Yeah.
It would be, in a way, it's almost like listening to podcasters. You hear all about what they think right now, but unless they talk about their background, you may not even know their real names. You may have no idea what country they live in.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Bethany's real name is Constance, and my real name...
No.
No.
If we're making up names, mine is not going to be Constance.
I don't know why that was the first thing that popped to my brain. Hey, do we have internet back?
I just got it back.
Hey, well, Mark hasn't joined us yet, but that's okay. So let's keep going. So we're still building through this episode, and then I liked it, but one of the weirdest things in the episode, and the Clone Wars is rather fond at this moment of being weird in places,
yes,
was Morley the Snake.
Yeah. Oh, try to add Mark back if... Okay. And it's funny, in the show notes, I have all of these little about sections because I wanted to do a little bit of reading up for the episode. So I have about Darth Maul and some basic backstory of Darth Maul and some stuff from the comics that I haven't read, and about the Junkers and the Fire Breathers. And then I have about that dreadful snake. Because that's really...
I like Morley. There's a lot of hate out there for Morley. I like Morley the Snake.
I my big concern was, please don't let there be a retcon that tells us that he's a space slug. Because I was just like, that would just throw a curveball. It's a small one, but it'd throw a curveball out there suddenly. Those big things that, oh, it's no cave, are sentient. But thank goodness they didn't go there. But I thought the character was cool. I liked the way how when he suckered Savage, he was like, I get the leftovers. It's like, I don't know. He had a very creepy sidekick quality.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's funny. Clone Wars has recently dealt with basically, I hate to bring it up.
One thing I would like to mention is just the serious level of the Clone Wars recently with the Night Sisters and the undead and the magic. And recently what Mark said, quoted from Morley, you know, I get the leftovers. You get the idea that they're actually... You know, it's cannibalism in the Clone Wars.
That's what I was going to say. To go back to the previous episode, Bounty, which really, if you don't sugarcoat it, you're talking about human trafficking. It's serious stuff. It's nothing to be taken lightly when it comes to them throwing the girl into the chest to marry off to one of the wealthy aliens against her will. You're dealing with human slavery and trafficking. And in this one, you're dealing with cannibalism. And they make it extremely obvious that this snake Morley has done this more than a few times to bring some tasty stuff down to the Arachno Mall, so to speak.
Yeah. And about Arachno Mall, you know, this brings me back to the last Insider issue, page 16 in there. Sam's talking about Maul and how the character survived. And he talks about how, in a way, Darth Maul has done something similar that Vader has done. He's wallowed in these caves, eating garbage, living in these horrible conditions. Through all his grief and connection with the dark side of the Force, these spider legs made of garbage have grown out of him as a manifestation of his pain. Now, the key to that, to me, is have grown out of him.
Can you, for emphasis, Mark, can you read that one sentence again? Because that's insane.
Yes. Yes. Let's see. Through all his grief and connection with the dark side of the Force, these spider legs made of garbage have grown out of him as manifestations of his pain.
Now, this is an interview?
Makes me think of the... this is his interview in Insider Magazine.
Sam Witwer?
Yeah, think about how when Sidious turns to Anakin and he says, the power of the dark side, many consider unnatural. And, I have to think that there's a connection here with the Force in those legs. I mean, when you see Maul, you know, we were talking before the show about how some of the parts kind of floated over him. When he got angry, they would bristle and stuff. And it didn't strike me as very mechanical. There was a mechanic quality to it, but it felt very organic with the way it was moving to his feelings, which made me think it's got the Force, the dark side of the Force, written all over it.
Yeah. I mean, just look at the promo picture of Spider-Maul, and you see, like, these bits of trash floating around him.
Yeah, like, literally floating.
Yeah.
Yeah, and see, and that makes it much more kind of mystic. And they don't go into this, say, well, he had surgery, which then replaced his lower intestines with certain tubes, and they built it. No, they leave it open for interpretation, which I love that. If they're going to do it, they need to not, you know, write it in great detail.
Well, in another interview with TVGuide.com, an interview with both Dave Filoni and Sam Witwer said, the twist is that Maul is so psychologically tortured and full of hate that, and I quote, the dark side of the Force has given him these hideous spider legs.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, well, that pretty much wraps it up. Yeah. Hey, for once, I actually speculated correctly.
Yeah, no, you did, Mark, and that's definitely going to be huge, quick, and I don't think they will
explain. Another quick speculation I want to know from you guys. I'm sitting here looking at the magazine, and in it, Maul is holding his old lightsaber. It has actually got the cut-off scorch marks of where Obi-Wan cut it apart. And I'm immediately like, ooh, there's got to be a story opportunity here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you guys think that might be addressed in the next episode, or do you guys think that it's going to be something that we learn about elsewhere, like maybe an EU tale or something?
Well, I'll address it two ways. Do I want it to? I'm torn. In one way, I am dying to know what George and Dave and the team are thinking in terms of how it happened, how he survived, how he ended up on this junk planet. How, you know, there's all these questions. How did this happen? How did that happen? But, so I'm torn as to I want to. Do I think they will? No, I don't. I think they're going to move forward and just leave it open.
Just for the legs specifically?
Yeah, just like the explanation behind it. Yeah, how did it happen? And I think they'll leave it open.
That's interesting. It may be explored. It may not. Right now, it's a toss up for me either way.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to read an excerpt of an interview with Dave Filoni recently. He says, Sam has become part of the family at this point. We knew he would be able to do that crazy wackadoodle place, go to that place with Maul, and really be out there with his emotions. Maul starts out the story as a rambling, incoherent, crying mess. Basically, he's a rabid animal. And Sam gives a powerful performance. People will be surprised to learn that Maul is far more cunning and clever and intelligent than he was portrayed in The Phantom Menace, where he says, yes, master. He's just seen as kind of an assassin. Don't forget, he was trained for years by Darth Sidious himself. There's a lot of this of the master in this apprentice. So,
you know, and that's something I actually hope to see. Yes. With the fact that Maul's alive, I want to know Sidious's reactions. He's got, I mean, Dooku is noticing that Savage is growing powerful. Everyone's feeling Maul as this tremor in the Force or something. I mean, what does Sidious think? I am dying to see this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. So,
Michael Faulkner asks in the chat, and why is Maul so special to the overall myth arc? Why is Darth Maul special?
That's a good question. And I'll tell you why. He is the Phantom Menace. He symbolizes a change, a drastic change in the mythos of Star Wars from when that transitional period of when it was peace and justice in the Old Republic, when the Jedi reigned supreme before darkness clouded and festered in the government. And corrupted the government system in the Old Republic. And I think it's interesting because the Phantom Menace starts out where that corruption's already in place and the Sith have already infiltrated the Senate, but it hasn't come full bear. But Maul, I think, is a manifestation of that darkness that is creeping into the Republic and corrupting it from the inside. And so I think symbolically he's an extremely important character. Plot point-wise... not so much. He is an assassin. He's used. He gets the job done. He's basically a glorified dark side bounty hunter.
Well, I'll take that a step further. You know, Darth Plagueis, the novel, kind of gives you, like Riley said, he was the Phantom Menace. It kind of all but says that. I mean, you know, there's a point where Sidious is like, my apprentice is the one that struck out. You know, my apprentice was the one that we used to show the galaxy that the Sith are back. And in that aspect, Maul is a vagabond of the Sith. You know, he's the one, he is the tool, like you said, Riley, the assassin. He's the one that they're seeing. He is the face of the Sith as the Jedi know it. And so that's where a lot of the allure came in. You know, and same with Qui-Gon. A lot of people were kind of sad that these two are one and done in the saga. But yet when it comes to the Clone Wars, the potential here of the character grows exponentially. We know that Maul had a key part in the plan. I mean, they even talk about it in the interviews and Insider and such about how, you know, he could have been Grievous for all intents and purposes, or Dooku, the general, or, you know, the leader of the CIS, the public face of the enemy. And so, you know, and like this last line in that one you were talking about was how some of the masters in him. The interviews talk about how now we're going to see a side of Maul that's a strategist. And that's not something I originally aspired to Maul or attributed to Maul. I didn't see that at all. But after reading all these little short stories, the Darth Plagueis novel, you know, and I've read bits and pieces of The Wrath of Darth Maul. My dad currently is reading it, so I've got to wait my turn because I'm reading Apocalypse. But it's one of those things where, you know, we're seeing new aspects of the character, and it's one of those spots where with this character that we already love from the movies, we're seeing him be explored, and as it's explored, it's changing our point of view on him. And that's something Lucas is always doing. They forget what you've learned, unlearn what you've learned. It's all, you know, true from a certain point of view. And, you know, from the EU side, everything I tell you is a lie. It all ties in, and it's all a fun ride. You know, yeah, there is a little bit of hype. Maul can be seen as the hyped up character. Everybody loves Maul, like Boba Fett. And a lot of people are kind of scratching their head going, why? But I think that that's one of those things. It's like either you get the character or you don't, or you come to love the character down the road, or you just never kind of understand the character.
I think another reason I really like what you're saying, Mark, and what you said, Riley, but I think there may be an additional reason too. I think it's slightly possible that we are seeing a shift in the Star Wars universe to have Darth Maul, who apparently the dark side is that interested in Darth Maul himself. And with no, this isn't Sidious's doing. This isn't Dooku's doing. This isn't even truly Mother Talzin's doing. If the Force itself, the dark side of the Force, grew or created those legs for Darth Maul, what part has he to play left in the universe?
Bethany, you are an assassin. You just assassinated my mind. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Well, I would, yes, but is Mother Talzin behind it? Because she's certainly right there with Savage Opress, really trying hard to find Maul.
Yeah, but it's shown that Mother Talzin is such a threat now, a far greater threat than any of us originally thought. And well, so maybe she's just kind of tapping into it. But it clearly states Sam Witwer and Dave Filoni both that the dark side of the Force created those legs for Darth Maul. What purpose does Darth Maul now have in this universe? Will we see a shift in the Clone Wars? The Clone Wars has changed a number of things that we know about Star Wars. And is this another Mortis in the making?
Oh, man. You've got me thinking in so many directions. I mean, in a lot of ways, you know, to steal from Lord of the Rings, they're like Merry and Pippin and the two stones that create the avalanche, in a sense. Mother Talzin sets Savage on a quest to get something that she wants, and in doing so creates a force that the dark side is obviously taking advantage of. And like you said, for what purpose? I mean, these kind of speculations, you know, I could see how being a writer for this show could be exciting. It's like, ooh, where are we going to go from here? You know,
mm-hmm.
And that is a point that just – like I said, you just assassinated my brain with potentials and possibilities there. Wow. I hadn't thought about the Force's part to play in Maul's coming back.
It's been bumping around in my mind, actually mainly because of you and Riley and Aaron and some of our discussions about Maul and some of my discussions with you and Aaron, which one of the things is when you mentioned that the dark side of the Force and the light side of the Force seem more like almost like sentient beings in their own right in Darth Plagueis. And this may very well be playing into the Clone Wars.
You know, I think that if Lucas ever went there, I think that would be the ultimate catch-22/blitz play he could ever do. I mean, because a lot of people, when they hear that, people even think that the Force is two different entities and yet is one. I mean, it's just so out there that people can't even wrap their minds around it. I used to say on the forums that the Force is, you know, it's a light side, it's a dark side, it's a unifying force, it's, you know, it's a living force. It is a sentient being. It is not a sentient being. It is whatever you want it to be. It is that awesome. And, you know, to see Lucas kind of take it in that direction where it could be sentient in a degree, I mean, I kind of wonder if he will go there. I part of me doesn't say he will. He hasn't even told us exactly what the will of the Force is. So it's kind of like, will he ever go there? Ooh, man, you got my brain working.
Well, just seeing that Darth Maul is apparently going to be a fairly long-lived character in the Clone Wars, he's like Riley said, he's not a one and done. There's a lot they could do with him.
Yeah,
and that gets me to the Sidious question. I mean, if he sticks around, Sidious is going to have to know that if it's not Maul, I mean, which I would think he would know it's Maul, but if it's not Maul, he knows there's a serious player on the board that he wants to eliminate. I see conflict coming. I see a collision course.
Oh, yeah. I mean, right now, Ventress doesn't like him. Dooku doesn't like him. Sidious wouldn't like that he's alive and on his own because Sidious likes control. And
yes.
At this point, Savage Opress is a little bit rogue, even with Mother Talzin. So you're wondering if at some point Darth Maul, Savage, and Mother Talzin will be at odds.
Yeah. No. Wow. That's mind is blown. Bethany officially blew the mind in the chat realms. They say you won the podcast today.
I cannot defend this, even as the defender of the EU.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, guys. What I'd like to do now is get ready and jump, give our closing thoughts on the episode, and then just jump to some highlighted news stories. You guys know what I'm talking about if you check the chat room, the private chat. But yeah, let's give our closing and final thoughts to the episode. I'll kick it off and just say that I thought Brothers was a fantastic episode, and I really liked the visuals on it. And I mean, it had all the elements of things that I love about the Clone Wars, and it had an air of significance to the overall Star Wars saga. And that's sometimes can be rare in the Clone Wars, where we often in episodes see things with very little consequence to the overarching story. So even if Maul was only in the last few minutes, and even if he was crazy Maul, that was perfectly all right with me, and it was. And I really liked Savage's journey, and it's really after Night Sister Zombies and the return of Darth Maul and a Jedi going to the dark side and turning on his clones all in one season. I think that's a good sign for the future. Season 5 will be even better. So yes, if I would give it a solid 4.5, maybe even 5 stars out of 5. How about you, Mark?
Ooh, you know, I'm excited all the way around. I thought it was a good episode. I liked the fantasy quality. I liked how it felt like you were on a journey, and by the end you came to somewhat of a conclusion, and it left things open, wide open, for the sequel to it. And I love how Sam approached the character. I mean, the way he, you know, when he was talking and he was all, chains, are they not look the jam? I was just like, wow. And then, you know, he's had interviews where he's talked about how he's read even comics about Darth Maul, about how he wanted to have an awareness of what had been done. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to where it's going. This episode did a very great job of building up a desire to see the finale. I mean, I'm always happy to see finales of any season because they're always usually the most hinging on kind of feel. But this one, I feel like it's really going to tell.
Hello?
I think we lost.
Oh, as his insight came to an abrupt end.
Oh, dear. Well, I really like this episode as well. It did feel like it took its time getting up to the part we were all waiting for.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, and I didn't really mention this in my thoughts before, I did like seeing Lotho Minor.
Lotho Minor, a.k.a. Raxus Prime.
Yes, basically. Raxus Prime from The Force Unleashed. And I enjoyed seeing that, incorporating some EU elements, seeing just a vastly different world in the Clone Wars.
Yes.
The fire breathers, the Junkers. The Junkers have me quite serious. Quite curious. Are they sentient?
Are they
droids? Are they humans?
They're evolved Jawas.
I
something,
get it.
I don't know, something like that.
I would say devolved Jawas.
Yeah, true.
Anyway, but yeah.
Good point. Well, let me bring up something since we lost internet again and it's just us. Before you give our absolute closing thoughts to the episode, I just thought of this as Mark was saying it, and the idea of how many EU elements were in this episode. I mean, if you think about it, you had the Sith code through...
I loved that.
Through victory, my chains are broken, the Force shall set me free, I think is it. I don't remember it all. When I first saw that in the Old Republic, the original Knights of the Old Republic.
Peace is a lie.
Peace.
There is.
Ooh, can
only
you pop
passion.
It in the chat room? I want to do a Darth Malgus reading. Can I do a dramatic reading?
Sure.
But yeah, so we've had that, and we had, of course, the Infinity's Maul is back. I mean, this is a direct inspiration, I'm sure, of the Infinities comic where Darth Maul attacks Owen and Beru Lars on the homestead with, of course, the Grievous-type legs, and yeah. Obi-Wan saves the day. Mm-hmm. But yes, peace is a lie. There is only passion. Through passion, I gain strength. I'm going to morph into my own voice. Through strength, I gain power. Through power, I gain victory. Through victory, my chains are broken. The Force shall set me free.
Fear. Fear attracts the fearful, the strong, the weak, the innocent, the corrupt. Fear. Fear is my ally.
We have something to report.
Come closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is! Listen!
You know that awkward moment when I click on the news segment thing and then realize I don't have the rest of the news stories pulled up? So, of course, I desperately waved to Bethany saying, quick, you take the first news story. And then at which point she said, she goes with a large head shake, no. And then Mark comes on just at the right time, just as we finish up the episode thoughts. And now we have the news pulled up. So I figured I could just and that's called stalling by my friends. I highlighted a couple news stories, Mark, as you saw from the two episodes, and we'll just kind of condense back to one. I think that's probably best. There's a great article on Star Wars Prequel Appreciation Society.wordpress.com, which is an awesome website, especially for guys like me. but he says, I want to read a few excerpts where he does his ways to market and make a bigger success out of Attack of the Clones than The Phantom Menace 3D. And, of course, Attack of the Clones coming out next year in 3D, hopefully a screening in 3D at Celebration. You never know. But we've got that coming out next year. Phantom Menace did fairly well. I use the word competitively well. It was right up there with its competition, but it didn't blow away the opening weekend by any stretch of the imagination. But basically... what this article says is suggestion number one, strategize for a clear opening weekend. Fox needs to find an open weekend, especially in regards to 3D and family fare, to release Attack of the Clones. Makes sense. So you obviously don't want to compete with something like Pixar or something like that. Number two, figure out Attack of the Clones hooks. He's talking about the marketing. So, you know, how do you market it to kids? And he says his idea is that market it with the Clone Wars. Like, hey, kids, see where the Clone Wars started on the big screen, because you have all these Clone Wars kids now. Number three, up the advertising budget. I'm surprised that no one, not even a Star Wars fan, knew anything about the Phantom Menace re-release. You said some urban areas had plenty of street advertising, but there's little spent on television, minus the Super Bowl ad. I actually, a Super Bowl ad isn't cheap. But you know, those are a few good suggestions. He goes on to say, I have to pull up the article, and he had two parts. Use social media more effectively. And here's where it gets interesting, guys. Red Tails doubled its predicted opening weekend, mainly due to the word of mouth, mainly used through social networking. He noticed that it trended all weekend long on Twitter, not the Phantom Menace, its competition, The Vow and Safe House. They trended, but not the Phantom Menace. And the Twitter pod race, which they did, was a good idea, but is kind of a little bit early.
Well, it's very niche, whatever, how you...
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, can't talk tonight.
Yeah, but this is where I got into
specific.
Lucasfilm tried to promote it on Facebook, but the official Star Wars Facebook page and the StarWars.com page and a special opening weekend event page. But he says this, and I quote, whoever's running those pages did nothing about it in terms of monitoring them. He said, you know, he jokes that it may have been Simon Pegg running them. but people who were genuinely interested in the film quickly got disgusted with the haters and stopped participating. I dropped all of those pages from my feed because I couldn't take it anymore, especially when the non-existent monitor wouldn't even scrub posts with the N-word in them. So some really harsh stuff. And that's when you're marketing the Phantom Menace on social media, it's a nightmare. I mean, it's like McDee stories that we talked about the other week. It's just not a good idea because there's this stigma with the film. I'm just surprised that it did as well as it did where they did. And so, you know, and his last points are sell the 3D a little bit more, which I'm not sure I agree with that one. I thought the 3D was pretty emphasized. I mean, it's episode 1-3-G.
Well, does he mean the actual... quality of 3D, like the actual processing?
No, he's talking more about the marketing strategy here, as okay. I understand it. But anyway, and also emphasize what we all know, and that is Star Wars is just a better experience on the big screen. Mm-hmm. So let's see how we're doing. I see Mark has left us, but yeah, Bethany, what do you think of the marketing that they did?
I think some of the marketing was fairly successful in that in any big city you pass through, you would see Episode 1 in 3D signs everywhere.
Yeah.
But I do think that the social, honestly, and I am on social media a fair amount. I don't have a personal Facebook page, but I do use the Star Wars Report Facebook page. I have a personal Twitter account as well as the Star Wars Report Twitter account that I have admin rights to. And on neither one of them did I see very much official promotion of Star Wars in 3D.
No.
Only the Star Wars account that Bonnie Burton runs on Twitter did I see do much.
The Blu-ray, think about the Blu-ray marketing. Now that was a powerhouse with like the big website and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So that was. I mean, I think they did really as good of a job as they could have. The marketing budget honestly was probably bigger than the budget to convert it to 3D. I think they say the cost I've heard thrown around is that it costs $30 million and it made about $50 million, as I understand. Of course, I'm just pulling numbers out of my brain. I'm not actually sure.
Well, you know, for me, it's like if you're living under a rock and you're not paying attention to the TV or the internet or the social media experiences, follow McDonald's kids' meals. If you see Star Wars, obviously something big is happening or is about to happen in Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Count on it.
Yeah, that's actually fairly smart.
It all comes back to McDonald's here on the Star Wars Report.
Yeah.
So that was definitely an interesting portion. Jake Lloyd said that Star Wars made his life a living hell.
Yep.
Nine of them.
And he told the magazine that other children were really mean to him. He says his classmates were jealous. He said, my entire school life was really a living hell, and I had to do up to 60 interviews a day.
Now, this is according to that bright spot, that shining star of journalism with integrity, The Sun.
And it's all a lie.
Oh, fighting words.
Yeah.
Wait, a lie? What?
Yes,
the news never lies.
Jake Lloyd on Facebook. He has a page there, and he quickly responded within a few days. As all these mainstream media, I mean, Star Wars news goes out, and interviews go out all the time. New interviews with people like Dave Filoni and stars like Ewan McGregor, Jake Lloyd, and it's just like really none of them ever get national press. But when my dad sends me an email saying, hey, did you see this? Jake Lloyd
from
was abused.
Afghanistan.
Yeah, yeah. My dad works in Afghanistan, and he's certainly got a lot of better things to do than poke around on the internet. So when it's up on CNN, you know that there's a problem. But Jake Lloyd very quickly responded and said...
He said... The Sun is claiming I gave them an interview recently that I did not. The quotes in the article do not accurately reflect my feelings for the time I spent on Star Wars or the time I spent in high school. I feel very fortunate to be part of the Star Wars family and always have. Hmm. Anyway, this to me, it's just, wow, no journalistic integrity whatsoever.
No.
And
well,
seriously, you do
I'm
gonna that
take to take a moment here and play devil's advocate. What if what they said is true, and Jake's being told by Lucasfilm, you got to clean this mess up, and this is what he was told to say?
That does sound
a
little
bit
like...
That's complete speculation, and I'm glad that it's all not true, but, I mean, there is that conspiracy theorist in me that goes... What if he's being told by someone that he's got to correct this error?
When you hear, I don't think it's true, Mark. But what you say, your inner conspiracy theorist, I can kind of sympathize because when you hear language like "does not accurately reflect my opinion," that sounds very much like a CEO. That sounds like Bill Clinton wrote that, if you know what I mean.
It doesn't really. I don't know.
I did not hate the prequels.
Oh, goodness. Wow.
I absolutely adored Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar was awesome, and I love that guy. Okay.
Okay.
Hillary and me, we wear a Jar Jar costume every Halloween.
Where's Nathan?
Something I wanted to say.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I can understand Mark's inner conspiracy theorist here because Jake Lloyd has had a few disparaging comments to say about Star Wars in the past, although he has never said anything that strongly that I have heard of, and I've looked through some interviews of him.
Yeah.
But here's one thing. The Sun is basically a UK tabloid.
It's what you pick out. It's the magazine you pick out on your way out of the grocery store.
Yeah.
Type of magazine. That's why I was kind of making a joke about.
It's not an internet powerhouse news.
A lot of people that have gone to conventions and stuff were like, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've met Jake Lloyd. I met him at AdventureCon 2009. Or 10. No, I think it was AdventureCon 2010, along with Billy D. Williams. You can find actually some interviews I did. That was the first time I ever really went on the circuit and did interviews. I think I did that around the change of the year. It was either on the Boston Report days, or I think I released them then, but I re-released the interviews, and you can go back into the archives on StarWarsReport.com. I asked him for an interview. He did not give me one, and he said, no, and then he kind of threw it off to his handler, who said, yeah, Jake's doesn't really like to do interviews. There are these people, of course, this is back before all this stuff came to surface, who were, you know, kind of jerks about the way they were interviewing him. And later, I did look up on YouTube where these people had, like, taken these clips and really edited together it to look like he was just kind of trying to have an honest conversation with these people who'd interviewed him way back then, and they were chopping it together to make him it was horrible to kind of make him look like he was complaining and miserable and a wretched child actor who was abused and couldn't do anymore. And you know, he was being realistic about it because he's been open enough in some interviews to say that, you know, he was hasn't used the term as strongly as bullying, but you know, he was out of place. I mean, where do you go from playing Anakin Skywalker at 9 years old? I mean, where do you go from there?
Well, yeah. And you got to also think about the fan reactions. I mean,
yeah.
One of the hard parts for me and my wife even to swallow about episode one is the appearance of the age gap between Padme and Anakin. She looks almost 17 and he looks almost 12. You know, or actually I believe he's closer to 8 or 9 is what Anakin was supposed to be in the movie. But you're like, this does not look right, George. What are you doing here?
Well, yeah, and
know,
I think
that's... you got like a lot of people that come at it from that too, that, you know, I could see where he gets a lot of negativity to a degree.
He does get a lot of negativity, and I can kind of sympathize with you, Mark, but I think that's people always go to that as a default and saying, oh, well, look at the age gap and look at the 12-year-old who's in love with a 16-year-old or a 17-year-old, but Anakin is 9. It's a very I think, innocent flirtation in the way it was portrayed, and I think it wasn't handled the best way on screen, but I don't think there's, I guess, serious implications there. I mean, if we want to talk about serious implications, let's return to human trafficking and, you know.
Well, my main point was you know, magic, most people that have gone to the cons had mentioned how, or should I say, not really mentioned, they seemed to buy that article was true because of
because
the way he came across. Like, oh, he looked like he was very unhappy to be there.
Yeah.
And he didn't have very good fan interactions. And, you know, and you see someone like Daniel Lloyd, who is, you know, very interactive with the fan community. So, you know, I would see, like, if the same rumor came up with Daniel Lloyd, everybody, oh, that's false.
Daniel
Lloyd. Because Jake Lloyd doesn't interact so much, they're a little more like, well, from what we've seen of him in the cons, I could actually believe it. I found it really shocking that people were actually saying they could believe it. I honestly was like, well, really? For real? You would actually say this?
Well,
which, so when he came forward going, hey, it's a hoax, I was like, okay, well, that makes sense.
Well, Daniel Lloyd is quite the character. It's Anakin Fett. No. We have to jump. We'll get tons of emails, Mark. It's Daniel Logan.
Yes.
So,
the Freudian slips.
Well, and let me just say this: as a person who has been to a convention and has met Jake Lloyd, I can see where that comes from. He's not a warm, fuzzy, friendly guy. But I don't think that's licensed to say that he would go and give an interview to a UK tabloid magazine and talk about how much he hated Star Wars. Not exactly.
Well, and like we've recently seen, you don't have to be warm and fuzzy to be in Star Wars, Simon Pegg.
This is the absolute ultimate truth. The guy who says that half of the Star Wars movies that George Lucas made are abominations then gets hired by Lucasfilm to play a character in the same era of those movies that he absolutely hates. Yeah, I don't necessarily think that would be a problem. And I think
the conspiracy theorist to me is going, well, once again, they shut another hater up.
they kind of did. You know, his tune changed, I would say. I haven't heard about any prequel hating tweets from Mr. Pegg recently.
I can just see it now. Lucasfilm taking haters down one at a time.
The next thing we'll hear is Mr. Plinkett from Red Letter Media will be voicing a new bounty hunter, and then we'll see a 2-hour review of The Phantom Menace, you know, talking about how awesome it is.
Well,
we're going about this all wrong. What we need to do here at the Star Wars Report is start hating on the Clone Wars and the prequels. Maybe we'll get some kind of job at Lucasfilm. No. And we lost Mark.
Well, one thing I wanted to say just about the whole actor and creator and stuff, things like that, is it's interesting how the experience of being a creator, either acting, writing, or directing something or producing something, can be so different than the fan experience of the finished project. I mean, look at what George Lucas said in his Oprah interview about, remember when he said, I've never seen Star Wars. And she asked him to explain, and he said, you know, I've never had that experience of going into a theater and being wowed by that opening shot that everyone tells me wowed them. But I don't get to have that experience because I put it together. I created it. I knew the ins and outs of every shot. So it's an interesting thing. And you have someone like Daniel Logan, who just has an entirely different personality. He loves it. He can kind of win over any fans that
he
didn't
can
really
like
him.
Over the top.
And then someone like Jake Lloyd, who seems more like just a more reserved, private person who, just to be quite honest, privacy and being a well-known actor does not go hand in hand. So just having the different type of personality will make it very difficult to deal with just depending on who you are.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's just overall, I think it is a shame. It's just a shame that Jake Lloyd is obviously, regardless of whether the story is true, he's been in a dark place before and it's something that he struggled with. But, you know, your life's about decisions, and an interview I have heard him in is where he said, where they asked him, well, would you go back and do it all over again? And he said, you know, he wouldn't change anything for the world because it's part of what made him who he is today. And by the way, Oppo Rancisis?
we'll have to ask Mark about this. See if you can pull Mark back in.
Oppo Ran what?
Oppo Rancisis.
So Oppo Rancisis is going to be in the Clone Wars.
Suffering succotash.
Suffering. Just a side note, which I actually remember seeing a rumor about that like 2 years ago. And I don't know, can't for the life of me remember where it was. But that's exciting. And a closing story. I wanted to bring that. Oh, Dave Filoni confirmed that in his recent EW chat. A lot of the Clone Wars actors and
how long have we been running people, now?
Have done that. Just under an hour.
Okay.
So let's jump to the last thing. The Celebration 6 Celebration stage hosts were celebratorily announced with much celebration. James Arnold Taylor, David Collins, and Pablo Hidalgo will be hosting the main stage, digital stage, and behind-the-scenes stage, respectively. I got it right the first time. Celebrate good times. Come on. So, Jay LaGaia has done this the past couple years, but James Arnold Taylor will be changing that and hosting the main stage. And after seeing his one-man show, I think that's a great choice.
Yeah,
I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm just excited to finally be getting some news about Celebration.
Yeah, it's going to be so much fun.
Oh, me. So, James Arnold Taylor, of course, the voice of Obi-Wan. David Collins is formerly from LucasArts and now works with Sony. And then, of course, Pablo Hidalgo is a longtime Star Wars author and employee over at Lucasfilm. And for those of you who weren't there last year, the main stage is where like the main event happens with George Lucas, or the opening ceremonies of sorts, like the opening events, where it's the big fat stage that fits 2,000-3,000 people for the main show.
Yep.
And the digital stage is where a lot of the Clone Wars and Old Republic panels were the year before. I can't remember. And the behind-the-scenes stage is more of a general thing. It seats a lot of people, and then they have a bunch of meeting rooms and things for smaller panels. But they really, really seem to have fans involved in doing that. And there is a panel submitted that we may be able to be a part of, but until we hear back from whether or not they rejected us, or not us, but some friends, we'll wait and hear that. But hopefully it would be cool if we're doing a panel. And I'll tell you what, it would be cool to do a meetup or something like that at Celebration if possible. Hey, Mark, you there?
I am indeed.
I'll tell you what. I don't want to depress you with the Celebration news because I know you're unable to make it this year. But
I know, I'm like, man, let's stick with the Oppo. I mean, yay!
I will say this. What we need to do is figure out a way to get like a Verizon MiFi. And if they do another main event that you have to like get in line at midnight for, you know, something like that, we need to go down, bring you in on a laptop, and do like a live video or live to video podcast while we're in line. That would be awesome.
That would be fun.
Think some ideas. But yeah, I'm very much looking forward to Celebration. We lost the call again, so we've had so many connection issues tonight. But that's the nature of the beast. And great episode. For the most part, Darth Maul's back up, coming up this Friday as we record this. Coming up tomorrow, the season finale of season 4 of the Clone Wars. Can't wait. I'll say this on the podcast as well. We're looking forward to doing our last episode and then maybe a Clone Wars roundup, Bethany. I'd like to get some people in on that to do like a whole season retrospective. That would be a lot of fun.
That would be fun.
And I'll say it also, one thing I'm really hoping to do, and I'll go ahead and kind of make a semi-announcement, is that Bethany and I, we've been talking. We would like to do a live screening on the 10th anniversary of Attack of the Clones in May. I don't even have the date in front of me. But we'd like to do a live screening, have a video, live video, bring in the people of the Star Wars Report, and do a commentary of Attack of the Clones on its 10th anniversary, and looking ahead to next year's 3D re-release. Mm-hmm. So that's something we'd like to do. We'll have to get some...
Just basically a thought to get together with fans, watch it, have a lot of fun chatting over it. We did one with the Sarlacc pit a little while ago. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun.
Yep.
But we actually lost the recording. So it was a fun live event. But,
yeah.
You know,
But yeah, what can you do? That was unfortunate. But it was a great hit, and people watching live loved it. So if you're interested, hit us up on our Facebook page or email us, say, hey, we're interested in that kind of thing. And that's kind of what I want to move towards, is some of these special events and that sort of thing. Season 4 of The Clone Wars concludes very soon.
Yeah, I can't wait for Season 5.
Yeah. Well, next week, we'll be talking about that trailer, that teaser to Season 5. Can't wait. We'll have to do a big dissection on it. But I think that's going to do it for this episode of the Star Wars Report. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll see you on the other side of the music. So help me, somehow, Mr. Herleman's going to get back up. We're going to get internet back well, and he can say goodbye. We'll see if it happens. But I think we're still out of internet. But yeah, thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Star Wars Report. Episode 37 is over. That's all, folks. That does it. Had a great time with you, Bethany, talking the latest Clone Wars. If you want to email us, send us an email, starwarsreport@gmail.com. We love hearing from our listeners.
Find us on Twitter, twitter.com/Star Wars Report. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Star Wars Report. Mm-hmm. We actually just passed 1,000. Actually, now we're at 1,010 Twitter followers. Thank you, guys.
No, I didn't do it. Here's the proper woo.
Woo!
That's the 1,000 follower mark. So yeah, thank you guys so much. Our social networks have been going crazy, and that's really the way to do it these days. We love the emails that you guys send us, but just interacting with you guys on the social networks, that's really where it's at these days. The days of forums.
All the cool
and emailing,
kids are there.
Yeah, all the cool kids. But yeah, thanks for tuning into this episode. Also, yeah, send us some feedback on that idea of doing the Clone Wars live show. I'd love to do something like that. Stay tuned. Very soon in the future, we'll be doing a big season finale wrap-up, and then after that, an even bigger episode talking about the Clone Wars, all of Season 4. Like I said earlier, been a great season. General Krell goes to the dark side. What's-his-face Shark Man takes off the head of somebody. No, that's not quite as significant. But Darth Maul returns. Night Sister's zombies are in the house, and Count Dooku is possible to get terrible plagues. It's getting biblical in the Clone Wars, I'll tell you that.
Yes. Or maybe just taking a turn for the supernatural.
It has.
I bet the writers of the Clone Wars have been watching Supernatural.
Yeah. Maybe. I'm stalling because I'm hoping Mark's going to return, but I think it's beyond happening.
The internet's being stubborn.
Oh, well. But that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Join us every Thursday, Middle Earth Network Radio. We're there live when we can, when AT&T doesn't fail us.
You fail me. Leroy Jenkins.
That's kind of sometimes how I feel. That's going to do it. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Join us every week here live on Middle Earth Network Radio. We appreciate you tuning in each week. That's going to do it for this episode. For the Star Wars Report and for Mark Herleman, I'm Riley.
I'm Bethany.
And remember, many Bothans died. To bring you this podcast. Say goodbye, Mark.